I'm going to confess something to you. John the Baptizer scares me a little bit. I guess he always has. He is so prophetic right from the beginning, kicking to high heaven in his mama's belly when the pregnant Mary comes to visit, celebrating the embryonic presence of his cousin Jesus before either of them even entered into the world. John comes of age in the Judean desert, perhaps keeping company with the Qumran crowd who anticipated the pending day of the Lord. John is lean and mean, direct and outspoken, and let's face it, seems a little bit crazy. But in fact, he and Jesus force us to ask something. What in the world is the prophetic? And how do we discern it? The Baptist story winds throughout the Gospels, connected to Jesus almost from conception. John precedes him, identifies him, baptizes him, defers to him, doubts him, and in death is affirmed by him as the greatest of all prophets. Yet John was a prophet in his own right, dying the martyr's death because he would not be silent. Prophets like John help us get our bearings in the world. They throw cold water and hard sayings in our faces and challenge us to take stock of our lives and the culture around us. In Samuel's day, we are told the word of the Lord had become rare and visions were few. Some scholars suggest it is difficult not to attribute the rarity of God's word to the disobedience of Israel's priestly leaders, to the failings of Eli and his sons. And this suspicion is immediately strengthened by the text's reference to Eli's failing eyesight. The narrative of 1 Samuel 3 signals to us that the story about to be told, the story of young Samuel who hears God speaking to him, is a story about leadership within God's people. Specifically, about what sort of leadership will be able to prevent God's word from becoming rare and to preserve God's holy presence within the community. The story tells itself in the way that the most memorable Hebrew narratives do. Samuel is to sleep one night in the room of the temple that housed the ark, that visible symbol of God's presence. Eli has his own room elsewhere in the temple precincts. But after Samuel lies down, God speaks to him. Samuel, Samuel, God calls out. Here I am, says Samuel, who then runs, however, to Eli and announces, here I am, for you called me. Understandably, Eli sends the boy away. Yet the same confusion occurs again. God calls Samuel. Samuel answers, running to Eli. Eli sends him back to bed. Then for the third time, God calls Samuel, and Samuel runs to Eli. But this time, Eli gets it. Go, lie down, he tells the boy. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And when Samuel returns and responds to God with this phrase, the one he has received from Eli, God delivers a word to Samuel about what will come to pass in Israel. A word that is also a message of judgment against Eli and his house for their corruption. Viewed from one direction, this story suggests that the answer to Israel's leadership crisis is represented by Samuel, a young, receptive servant of God who steps out in faith, even though that faith leads him beyond what he has previously experienced. God chooses to speak to this eager apprentice instead of the seasoned priest. From this angle, the ideal for religious leadership would appear to be primarily charismatic. What matters is eager receptivity rather than status or experience. Samuel represents Israel's hope for the future, and Eli symbolizes the failures of the past. I suspect this story is often interpreted along this very line. And yet there is another direction from which to read the story as well. Remember, Samuel hears God's voice, but he does not recognize it on his own, and he himself does not know how to respond to it properly. Only when Eli tells him the right words to say can Samuel be in a position to receive God's words. It is Eli who first realizes that God is attempting to speak to the boy. Eli who tells Samuel how to proceed, and Eli who responds after Samuel later tells him the contents of God's message. Certainly, Samuel is celebrated at the conclusion of the chapter as a trustworthy prophet of the Lord, because Samuel ensures the continued appearance of God at Shiloh. But without Eli's priestly expertise and long years of personal experience with God, Samuel would not have come to know God and receive God's word. Defining the prophetic is no easy matter. Some prophets foretell. At other times, the prophetic word is a word of hope in times of trouble, when things are so bad that the only way out is for God to do something new. The prophetic is dangerous and comforting all at once. Good news for some and bad news for others. It engulfs the world as it is and the world that lies ahead. Actually, John's not so scary once you listen to Jesus. There is a difference between the two prophets. John the Baptizer says, "The kingdom of God is on its way. Prepare yourselves." Jesus says, "The kingdom is already here. Live like you believe it." John Crossan writes that when Jesus says the kingdom is here, he means something a little like this: heal those who are hurting and then eat with those who are healed. And out of the healing and out of the eating will come a new community. Let it be so.